News Radio WJPF. Congressman John Shimkus on the other line. John, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing great, Tom. It's quite the days we're watching, aren't we?
Yeah, I mean, my first thought, John, was, since you're not running for re-election, you didn't have a crystal ball when you saw this, but at some point you're going to look at that and go, well, you know, in a few short months I'm walking away from this, well, what some people might refer to as a dumpster fire.
Yeah, no, in all honesty, in Illinois, we had a pretty good year.
Yes.
Republicans, and I think these pollsters, a couple things, a lot of takeaways. One is the pollsters better get their act together unless they're just trying to deceive us because they're so far off. The second thing is the National Democrat Party better get their act together and get back to the center because they're going to continue to lose more blue-collar working folks with their progressive socialist movement and this anti-police bend and anti-defense bend. That's my takeaway. Trump did exceedingly well. We picked up a lot of seats in the House. Now, Illinois, we picked up. Well, you got one in your area, state rep. We got one in the Metro East area. We did well in my home county, which has historically been a Democrat county. We got judges. Obviously, the Overstreet victory was huge for, I think, someone who wants a nice guy who will follow the rule of law. So, geez, I mean, we can gnash our teeth about the national scene, but for the first time in a long time, I have a little bit of optimism about the Republican Party in Illinois.
Well, here's the thing. When you talk to Senator Dick Durbin and in a back-ended way from the Governor Pritzker, it's not the fault of the Democratic Party and all these stances. It's because the Republicans tied the Democratic candidates to Mike Madigan. It's Mike Madigan's fault.
Well, we should have. I mean, that's fair, and the Republican Party did do that. So I don't disagree with that analysis, but this nationally and even in Illinois, this social progressive left bent, anti-police, anti-law and order, let these rioters get away with anything, does not bode well in Southern Illinois, and you know that.
Right, and here's the other thing. When I'm reading about the stock market, right, the Dow going up, I think it was 542 points yesterday, and when you look deep down, why? Because the Republicans hold the Senate, and they would be able to stop Biden tax hikes. And when you look, and these are reports not from just Fox, from ABC and CNN, and you look into this, experts say, and they point to this, retention and control. And, of course, you just referenced the House, the thinnest margin of dominance in 20 years by the Democrats at this point.
At this point. No, you're right. I think it's very exciting. And my guess is that Joe Biden would be pretty relieved with a Republican Senate because in the election, he had to move so far left. I really believe that's out of his comfort zone. Now he has an excuse why he can't, he can't do everything that he promised to the progressive left.
Right.
This is a good sweet spot. I mean, the qualification is we hold the Senate, which got to see what's going on with Georgia and with the runoff, so it's still up in the air.
Right. Georgia, I think I saw a graphic 49.4 for both candidates, literally 49.4% both cast, and I just saw that like 10 minutes ago. So what do you think about this when it comes to the reelection prospects of President Trump? I mean, when I look at my messaging this morning through my American Monument text line, what I'm seeing, John, is just this constant rain of suspicion that the Republicans are being robbed. They are so suspicious of everything that goes on. And then you've got the media saying there's no proof. Well, boy, there's an awful lot of things that, to me, don't pass the smell test.
Yeah, so I'm on both sides of this issue. I'm on a lot of issues. You know, in Illinois, we have county clerks. They're elected. And for the most part, they do a great job, right? Is there fraud? There is fraud. We know historically about people going into nursing homes and voting for folks who probably may not be able to make the decision on themselves. We know in East St. Louis where you get, you know, five or six votes from people registered at a vacant lot. So that does occur. The question is, does it occur at such a large amount to really affect us? We know in California, you know, that they do ballot harvesting. And that's every state's different. Philadelphia, you're going to trust the Philadelphia Election Commission? I don't think I would.
Well, John, they posted videos themselves on YouTube doing it. They're saying they're holding him up in front and saying, I've got a trunk full of these, and their dashboard is covered with them, and they're out harvesting ballots. They posted YouTube videos of themselves doing it.
Yeah, I know. The question is it legal in that state or not? Ballot harvesting in California is legal.
Yikes. Didn't know that.
So how did Republicans, of course, respond in California? Because we're picking up a few seats. We started ballot harvesting.
I didn't know that.
So that's the debate. Our biggest concern is always mailing out ballots to people who did not ask for them. In Illinois, you have to ask for a mail-in ballot. So that's pretty credible. But if you just say every registered voter or everyone who registered from now to 10 years ago, there's cases where people haven't lived in the state of California for 15 years and they got a ballot in the mail to vote in California.
John, I want to talk to you about something else quickly. By the way, I just received a text from the Harrisburg mayor, John McPeak. He says, would you thank John for having his office in Harrisburg? We will miss him. Apparently, Mary will not have an office in Harrisburg, and the people here appreciate John Shimkus. His office was in the city hall for years. Matter of fact, I knew that because I ran into you there in the days after the tornado in Harrisburg when you were coming into your office there. So that note from the Harrisburg mayor. Now, let's get back to these cure monies. A couple of things have caught my attention. I received a note from Illinois Municipal League Executive Director Brad Cole about some progress that had been made when it comes to the areas that accepted, you know, when it comes to certification to have that reimbursement from the federal government. Well, at the same time, the governor putting out a press release saying the money was being redirected to universities, which was not its original intent. I'm wondering, Mike told me that this process is being monitored in Illinois. What can you tell me about that?
Well, I'll follow with, when you say Mike, I'm sure you're talking about Mike Voss.
Yes.
And the answer is we just need to have an accounting. We know what our intent was, and I think we're still angry it's taking so long to get any money out. You know, and then the state, you know, is begging for more money when they have money on the table. So I don't know. I can't answer that question because I don't know the details.
All right. Hey, you know, when it came to the fair tax, it was interesting. I was having a conversation with one of the people from Wire Points, Ted Dabrowski, and said, you know, this fair tax failure, right? People will start looking to Washington when it comes to bailing this state out, but, you know, under the circumstances and what you and I just talked about, the Senate and the House, especially the Senate, that there's no way Illinois can continue to look to D.C. for a bailout because it's not going to happen.
Not going to happen with a Republican Senate, and I don't think it'll happen even with a Democrat Senate because it'll take a 60 vote to move that type of action on the floor, and all it takes is Ted Cruz to say no.
So, right.
I don't think it happens.
You know, and what's interesting when it comes to this, the stimulus money were, you know, because they said after the election. Well, right now, the election's still going on in many ways. But still, you know, the Fed chairman yesterday saying, hey, we've got to get this done. And we're talking about stimulus. I know a lot of people have a tendency to lean towards municipalities or states or counties, things along that line. But as we said, we've got $100 million that I think has still not been spent in that respect. What we're talking about is maybe more food stamps. I hear this a lot from people who take care of the elderly here in Southern Illinois, that they need food stamps or that farm-to-table program, or maybe an extension when it comes to unemployment benefits. What should be done when it comes to stimulus now that, well, when the smoke clears, what should be done?
Well, I still am on the side that $2.2 trillion is three or four, add them all together, how many stimulus bills? With all due respect to the Fed chairman, I ran 24 years ago, and the national debt was $4.5 trillion. We do another $2 trillion stimulus, we will have racked up more deficit spending and added the debt to the same level that I railed against 24 years ago as being the overall debt. And
yes.
Then it'll be up at $29 trillion. I tell you, it's time for folks to tighten their belts and get help from friends and neighbors and go to... Do you hear people asking for folks to come to work?
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
Job people, hey, we need workers. So how when you have people advertising for workers, do people say, well, you know, I can't make ends meet? Well, go get this job.
But what I'm primarily thinking, I think when I posed that question, John, I had somebody who is out of the job market, somebody who's older in the community, because those are the people I'm hearing the most about and have the most concern for.
Right. My guess, if they've got Social Security and they've got Medicare, that's what those programs are for. I mean, I think we have to really be careful about the you know, and the untold story is, you know, Medicare's actuarially going to go broke in about 5 years from now. So, what, you know, well, which means we'll have to raise taxes to then replenish that fund, which is has actuary problems to begin with.
John, when you look back on the years in Washington, you start taking an accounting, and I mean, you referenced it a couple of moments ago, the things that you railed about, and that is, you know, our debt and how high it's going up, and you and I have had some very frank conversations on the air about this recently. But when it comes to accomplishments for you, John, in particular your district, what would you hold up as an example?
Biodiesel, ethanol for my farmers. We've done our best to try to keep, you know, the environmental regs and clean air working with coal and coal generation and low-cost energy. In all honesty, you know, we're losing that battle. We've been able to really connecting the rest of Southern Illinois. We're not there, but I think the fiber, laying of fibers, and, you know, we just had that big announcement for Deep Southern Illinois of a lot of federal money going in that direction.
That was the $40 million Hamilton County Phone Company, $20 million in grants, $20 million in loans. Is that the one you're talking about?
That's it, and that's, you know, we're very proud of that. You know, I heard a story yesterday about a guy fainting in the line waiting to vote. So they ran into the school, got the defibrillator, and, you know, kept this guy alive. Well, my legislation put these defibrillators in the school. My 911 legislation made sure that 911 was the national emergency number, especially for, you know, cell numbers, which at that time it wasn't. So, I don't know. It's been a great ride, and those are just a few I just lift off the top of my head.
You know, it was interesting that there were so many people calling for term limits, and I remember you having and I having this conversation. This was a couple of administrations ago, John, and you had set a self-imposed term limits, and I'm saying, but John, you're running for election. He says, look, this is what happened. I was called into the office by the President of the United States of America, and he said, John Chimkus, we need you.
Yeah. No, don't get me wrong, man. I still regret making that pledge and then breaking that pledge. But I've learned to live with it, and it is what it is. I've had 12 additional years. I'm not running now. When people write the history books, and hopefully I'll have more good than bad. And as far as people, how they view my service to the state of Illinois and to the country, and if they want to take a whack at me because of term limits, it's fair. It's credible. I can't hide from it.
Is there anything that bothers you about your time in Washington?
Well, you've heard me talk about it. I think people are too mean. I mean, people are just mean and nasty now, and social media makes it easy. I mean, you're the one who mentions
right. The
comments on my Facebook post, so
yeah.
Which I don't follow. But, you know, and most people in Deep Southern Illinois, they're Christian. So, you know, Christ's admonition is love God and love your neighbor as yourself. And when you are so vicious on social media you're not loving your neighbor. And it's very troubling to me because I like to be a governing conservative. I like to think to put the best construction on the people and their intent, and then try to work for, you know, a compromise that hopefully gets me a little bit more than what they get.
Yeah.
But this all or nothing stuff, it's almost impossible to govern.
I see. Now, if you listen very closely, there was something very important that John just said, the all or nothing mentality. And you know what, John? I'm going to steal that, by the way. Because I get that, right? When the minute you said that, that struck a chord with me, because I've even sensed myself becoming more confrontational in that way instead of understanding, going all or nothing, because that's what it is for you, so that's what I'm going to do, right? I know that's wrong. But, you know, that has led us down a rabbit hole that we can't seem to find our way out of.
Right. And, I mean, I've had some successful pieces of legislation that I've had to give on. I'm trying to work on one as I walk out the door. And the interesting thing is the election, the quasi-success nationally of Republicans. Now, Trump may not get over the hurdle, but just the fact that it is tight, and that we picked up seats in the House and we probably will hold the Senate, hopefully. Now the Democrats are coming to me with a different view. Had they swept and we lost seats, then they would have said, by golly, we want more from you now.
Right.
Now I can hold my ground and say, you know, we're in a pretty good position after this election, so let's talk. But you're not getting me to move anymore.
Right.
If anything, you guys need to move.
Now, I think that is really interesting. And have you shared that with Mary Miller?
No, I put a call to Mary to congratulate her. I haven't heard from her yet. So I'm sure we'll talk. I've talked to other candidates that I've been supportive of. I mean, we picked up a suburban, well, we think we have. He's in a runoff, Jim Oberweis. And you should remember Jim.
I do.
From running statewide.
You bet.
He's now a congressman-elect. I mean, the vote hasn't been certified. But so I've talked to him and sent him a few dollars for his recount battle. But, so I've talked to a lot of my colleagues and some of the new folks, but I haven't talked to Mary yet.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping to on Monday, because I think that's an interesting note, because she doesn't have that first ground pounder experience with the status, and she may not realize the position she's been given through other people's efforts that, you know, when it comes to compromise, and wait a second, you don't understand what happened the last election. So I think that's a curious observation.
Let me jump in there. I've asked a couple of my friends. One is from Midstate, Missouri, Vicki Hartzler, to kind of befriend Mary and, you know, at least help her initially. And Vicki's a credible public policy person. They're very similar, but Vicki's been around for a while, and so hopefully that'll be helpful.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious about how this works out, and we've invited Mary on. Hopefully she'll be on the show in the same time slot on Monday here at News Radio WJPF. John, you and I got at least one more official conversation before the end of the term.
Yeah, wait till we get unofficial.
Right.
Wait till it become unofficial communications.
You know what's interesting, because you just anticipated my own question. I was hoping that, you know, there's a few people that I try to stay in touch with. Others, they just really don't care to, because they're moving on. But I was hoping with the relationship you and I developed over the years that maybe you'd continue to, be a contributor, for lack of a better word.
I'm all in for that, Tom. I'm going to be – but your listening audience might fall, because – as you know, that I'm going to be teaching two classes at Edwardsville. And I know the Edwardsville-Carbondale battle, but Edwardsville's 10 miles from my house. And I'm going to be teaching public political science, another class called Law and Society. I'm going to try to stay connected in D.C. So I won't be as connected as I am now, but I'll try to be able to maybe add some insights, and I'd be honored to.
And I would be too. And quite frankly, John has always been very self-conscious about his role and his rhetoric, as you've noticed. And so I think when the metaphorical handcuffs have been removed, that we might be able to have some interesting conversations. And I'm already looking forward to it.
Well, it'll be great, as long as you can hold your audience.
Yeah, well, I was thinking we might do that together. It's interesting that John and I, and it doesn't always happen, I have the privilege to work with people, but John and I have forged, I think, what you would call a very good friendship over the years. And you can't always say that about elected officials and media, but you and I, you know, it's been a different kind of thing between you and I, and I really can't explain it. I'm just,
well,
trust, I think,
DC,
is a big word.
D.C., they say if you want a friend, get a dog, but you're not in D.C., so it's worked out real well.
That's right. We both have high opinions of dogs as well. John Shimkus. John, thanks for your time this morning. Appreciate it.
All right, Tom. Take care. Talk to you later.